Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Choose you this day. Life is about the choices we make. God didn't create us as a robot and tell us everything to do, but he created us with free will. Do I have a witness? That means we can make good choices and we can make bad choices. And my guess in here, every last one of us have made some bad choices at one time or another. And preferably we've made a few good choices. I know you made one good choice because you decided to come to church this morning. And the choices that we make will impact our destiny. The choices we make will impact our future. And life is just full of choices. We choose where we will live. That has an impact. Where we will go to school or whether we will go to school. We choose who we're going to date. We choose who we're going to marry. And who we marry and who we date is also related to where we live and where we go to school and where we go to church. Amen? Amen. Joshua is an old man now. He had been number two in line for the liberation movement with Moses. Moses died and Joshua was left to carry out the march for liberation on the other side of the Jordan. So now they're on the other side and Joshua is really getting ready to die. So he calls the assembly together. He calls all the people of Israel together. He calls the church together because he has noticed something happening in their religious life. He has noticed that as long as they were trying to get to the promised land, they were faithful and doing pretty much what God set for them to do. But as soon as they got to the promised land and they're living in houses that they did not build, and they're drinking wine and eating grapes that they did not make or plant, now they're starting to slip. Look at somebody and say, don't slip. As soon as that, you know, as long as you were struggling, as long as you were on unemployment, as long as you didn't have any health insurance, you were praying, you were worshiping. But as soon as you got that good job, you began to slip. When things were going bad, you were at choir rehearsal, you were at prayer meeting, you were at church every Sunday. But as soon as things got pretty good, you missed one Sunday, and the next Sunday you decided you weren't going to go, and it's been 6 months now. And the fact of the matter is, because you slipped, you have made a choice. And the choice that you make will impact your future. And Joshua noticed that the children of Israel had begun to slip. So he called them all together and he said to them, you need, before he said anything, he led them through a history lesson. He said, listen. You're slipping, but let me remind you of where you used to be. Look at somebody and say, every now and then you have to have a history lesson. History is important. He says, you seem to have forgotten. You were slaves down there in Egypt land. You were making bricks without straw. And you were in Pharaoh's army. You were were down there as slaves in Egypt, and Pharaoh would beat you whenever he got ready to. But the Lord heard your prayer, and he sent a man named Moses, and he brought you out of slavery and brought you across the Red Sea and brought you across the wilderness and gave you food to eat in the wilderness and led you across the promise to the promised land. And now here you are in Hackensack, living in suburbia, got it made, riding well, and get your nails done when you want to. And now you acting a fool because you forgot where you came from. And Joshua said, I just want to remind you, you didn't get there by yourself. Joshua says, you didn't get to the promised land by your sword or by your ingenuity. You didn't make it by yourself. Just read it. He said, you didn't get there by the sword. You got there because God brought you here. And because God brought you here, I want you to make a choice. I want you to choose today. Look at somebody and say, today. Because tomorrow is not promised. Choose who you will serve today. If you choose the gods of your fathers on the other side, look at somebody say the other side. All of us got an other side in our lives. If you're going to choose them, go ahead and choose them. Are you going to choose the God of the Amorites in this land? Then choose them. But as for me and my house, if nobody else goes along, if the deacons don't go, if the deaconess don't go, if the trustees don't make that choice, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You got to make a choice. Now, the other thing, when you make a choice, there are four ingredients to a true decision for God. The first, if you're going to make a choice, you got to stop straddling the fence. You know, we got a whole lot of folk who make a choice. But they make a choice for the church, not for Christ. It's a difference between when you choose for Christ, you got to give up something. Do I have a witness? It reminds me, I got to be careful here because I don't want to call any name. Remind me of some politicians who get up and start talking about how they are born again. But their policies don't act like they're born again. Amen. You got to make a choice. If you're for Christ, you're for helping people. If you're for Christ, you're for change in the lives of men and women. I know some of y'all don't like that because you say I'm getting political, but I just believe that there's a relationship between your faith and your practice. If you can't tie the two of them together, to me, there's something wrong with these Sunday morning Christians, but who don't have a practice for what they have read in the Bible. It says to me that you never read the Bible. And so that's got to be, when you make a decision for Christ, you must be willing to quit straddling the fence. A whole lot of us, you know, men coming into church, talking about how much they love God and going home beating their wives every day. Don't talk about domestic violence. You don't go home and do stuff like that. And then some in the pulpit, some on the deacon board, some on the trustee board, some sitting out there, and then get in here hooping and hollering about how much you love them. You need to check yourself. On the other hand, it might be that the wife beating the husband. She going around hollering and whooping and praising the Lord, going home. Won't let the man be a man. Straddling the fence, straddling the fence. Time, look at somebody say, time out for straddling the fence. If you are for Christ, choose Christ today. And if you choose Christ, it will require sacrifice. Can't do everything you used to do. Can't even hang out everywhere you want to hang. I got to do a little confession because some of y'all might have heard this. Confess right now. I love chicken wings. love chicken wings. And the best chicken wings in Bergen County is at Hooters. And I had to make a decision. This is where your faith and your practice comes into play. Yes, sir. I snuck in. And all the time I'm there, and I went up to the takeout counter, and I'm looking around, seeing if I see any of y'all, praying that y'all didn't see me. But it really is, you have to make a decision, because you have to decide, do I want to go and get these chicken wings? It's not the only place you can get chicken wings. Are you going to support some business person who's using women, these young girls, walking around half naked? Are you going to do that? Are you going to settle for second-rate chicken wings? And I made a choice, and I asked God for forgiveness, because I thought about it, and I thought, you are empowering the misuse of these young women by buying chicken wings. Forgive me, Jesus. But it's really not a laughing matter. It really is the truth. As good as they are, I am empowering them. I am supporting them. I am sustaining them. I am saying it's okay. But it's not okay. Looking at these young girls, half dressed, all of them with makeup on, look like hookers, serving chicken wings. Here I am, hiding. And my baseball cap on. Praying. Because a decision, number two, when you make a decision for Christ, it must not be made lightly. It's serious. When you decide for Christ, it's not a light decision. It's a serious one. It requires us to think about our actions and what we do and where we go, and know that somebody is always looking, and the devil is always trying to say, yeah, see there? There's old Jackson standing up in Hooters. Getting chicken wings. That's all his faith is about, chicken wings. Just like that old preacher's. Because you have to decide, and you have to know that it is serious when you make a decision for Christ. You don't make it lightly, and it's everywhere you go and everything you do. It impacts the life of the church. And certainly if you're the preacher, it impacts the life of the church. I don't want to be an embarrassment to the church. Forgive me, y'all. And then, when you make a decision for Christ, we must be willing to go public with your faith. When you decide for Christ, it's not a private matter. You must be willing to go public. And sometimes the reason we're not willing to go public is because we have not done number one. We are still straddling the fence. If you're going to straddle the fence, you're going to try to keep it private so you can act hellish when you want to and act holy when you want to. It's not a matter of deciding. And that's why when you come to Christ, some people say, well, you know, I'm nervous about walking down the aisle. Can I join the church in the office? No. You join the church publicly. You give your life publicly. You make a choice publicly. It's not a light matter. We're all a little nervous because we know that somebody know your business. Decision for Christ must not be made lightly. We must be willing to go public with our faith, and we must be willing to follow through with all that you have. I commit to you. I ain't going back to Hooters. I don't even want you to go there and bring me no chicken rings. You got to follow through. Follow through. Not enough for me to get up and tell you. Confess to you. I got to follow through. Not that I'm doing anything wrong. It's because, but it's I'm supporting. I know. I thought about this. I know. Before you get out of here, good, you're going to be calling somebody and say, you know, the pastor, that little old Jackson guy, you know, him. Did you see him at Hooters too? But it's about, it's making a choice. You have to make a choice. And the choice requires sacrifice and some things that you want to do, you can't do anymore. Some places you want to go, you can't go anymore. And for me and my house, we have decided that we would serve the Lord. And when we serve the Lord, it requires us to come clean before God. I invite you to make a choice. Never mind the fact, you know, Reverend, I made some bad choices. I chose the wrong husband. I chose the wrong wife 3 times. I made some bad choices. I got with the wrong crowd. Fact of the matter is, Reverend, I went to jail. I didn't do anything wrong. I was just with the wrong crowd. I made some bad choices where I hung out at. Reverend, I really didn't do anything wrong. I was just hanging out. I was at the party. They were smoking pot. Which now we're coming to find out ain't a bad thing, they say. I'm with butts. I've never smoked a joint in my life. But I've been around people. I probably had a contact high. I've been around folks. I wonder why I was acting strange. But it's the choices we make. It's the places we go. It's the people we hang with. It's not necessary that we're doing anything wrong. We're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. You've got to decide where you hang. That is just as important as what you do. Judge Dow, I'm sure, has had to sentence people, not because they were bad people, they were just in the wrong place and they hung out with the wrong people. And that's why I decided to hang out with Jesus' folks. I've decided, we're going to sing that as a hymn, I decided to follow Christ. Here it is. Probably the greatest two decisions I've had to make. One is who I would marry. God knows that's important. Thank God that I made a good decision. Because, you know, I almost made a wrong one a few times. And sometimes you don't know it until you look back on it and say, made a good decision about who I was married. And not because we've had a perfect marriage, but because she decided to hang in there with me in spite of me. Probably had plenty of reason to walk out, but she hung in. Stay right there. I ought to be giving her a plaque. Don't be saying amen too loud, Miss Lily. The greatest, Barbara, was a good decision, but the greatest decision I've ever made was to accept Christ. Now, I made plenty of bad decisions, but the best decision I've ever made was to accept Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to choose ye him this day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, because you don't know about tomorrow. This day, I invite you, choose ye the Lord this day. How many of you can say for me, with me? I don't even know. I don't even know if we can really say that, you know. I don't know if we can really say what Joshua said thousands of years ago when he said, as for me and my house. Basically, today, we pretty much have to say, as for me. Now, that's some stuff, you know, can't happen in our house. You can't happen. You can't. Kids learn a lot of stuff in college and they come home. Some of that stuff you were doing in the dorm, you can't do in Jackson House. I love you, but you ain't going to be smoking the joint. I don't care how watered down, you ain't doing it. That's some things, you know, you can't bring some honey and leap up in our house. That's disrespect. I don't know what you're doing out there, but you can't disrespect this house. We try to teach you right now. I know we don't always do right, but you ain't gonna do it here. But my advice to you is choose Christ while he may be found. Choose him. This is really the invitation. Is there one? Choose him today. Never mind what somebody else. Never mind you're not perfect. But choose him today. Make up your mind that I've decided to live for Christ. And it's going to be a journey. You're going to get stronger along the way. But you got to learn how to pray. You got to learn to lean on him and to trust him. And to know that he brought us out. This is Black History Month. What in the world will we celebrate Black History Month and leave Christ out? Who brought us out of slavery? Who helped us to get those black colleges? Who put President Barack Obama in the White House? Who fought for the civil rights movement? Who called Martin Luther King? Who empowered Martin Luther King? Where did Martin Luther King and Fannie Lou Hamer and Serpentina Clark and all those others get their faith to get out there and fight on the battlefield? Was it because they were so smart and so strong, or was it because God was with them every step of the way? And when we look back over our lives on Black History Month, don't you dare leave God out. Don't you dare leave Jesus out. Don't you dare leave the church out. Don't you dare leave the faith out. As bad and as weak as the church may be, if it hadn't been for people of faith, we wouldn't be where we are today. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody fought for us. And somebody sacrifice for us to go to school. Don't you dare lift your nose up at the black church and your grandmother and the preachers and the deacons of yesterday. I don't care how much you celebrate Black History today, because now you got these fancy positions and new cars. The story has not been told of what the Lord has already done. And so we worship him today.